This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
On this week's Business Spotlight, I'm joined by Matthew Collins, the owner, founder, and as he calls himself, the Chief Tasting Director of Sibley. What started as a small food stall at a local Christmas market back in 2018 has since grown into a nationwide success story. You'll now find Sibley's Energy Balls in Aldi, Centra and cafes right across Ireland. Behind it all is Matthew, a man who has turned a simple idea into a household name, built a huge following online and inspired a new generation of Irish food entrepreneurs along the way. I am delighted to have him on iRadio's group chat now. Matthew, for anyone who hasn't come across Sibley yet, what is it and how would you describe what you do?
So the Sibley is a Cork food brand, and our goal, and I suppose my goal since day one, has been to feed as many people as possible with the highest quality snacks and sweet treats. At the moment, we are predominantly in the snacking sector in retail, hospitality nationwide. Our go-to product is an energy ball. So hopefully some of the listeners will be familiar with our classic nut butter energy ball or cacao energy ball. And yeah, that is what we do. At the moment, we employ 10 people directly, and then there's another 15 to 16 in production at any one time. So it really snowballed from a notion back in 2018, but here we are.
Taking it back to 2018, the very first Christmas market, what inspired you in the first place to start making and selling treats like this?
A lot of stupidity, I suppose, more than anything. There was no great master plan behind it. It was very much, I suppose, I was a college student at the time, and I had grown up around food, which is probably an important aspect to it. My mom would have been very interested in baking and would have supplied schools and offices with freshly baked scones and whatnot. So it wasn't an, I suppose, cooking wasn't an alien thing, and baking wasn't an alien thing. I'd seen the process of purchasing ingredients to creating the product and then moving on to selling it. So that was essentially it. I'd always had the idea of getting into baking and food, and then just on a whim as a college student applied for a local Christmas market, and that was it.
Did you ever imagine that you'd go from selling at this Christmas market or locally to being stocked in the major retailers like Aldi and Centra all over the place?
No. Definitely not.
And I love the honesty.
I won't even pretend that it was, I never set out with a goal of having a business. Essentially, at the time, it was a side project or like a bit of a side hustle for probably cash for a very broke college student. But then I suppose when, after a number of weeks and months of seeing the demand for snacks and I think high quality food that isn't highly processed, it probably became more and more clear over the following 6 to 12 months that there could potentially be a business there. And then it really did just snowball from there.
Obviously, building a food branch or brand rather from scratch wouldn't be an easy thing. Like, what were some of the biggest challenges that you faced in the early stages in particular?
Yeah, there's anxiety, I think, is probably the one word that comes to mind. But the biggest issue I found, and as a business we found, is our energy balls in particular are an artisan product, and it's really, really easy at home to make 20 or 30 energy balls. But bringing that from 20 or 30 energy balls to 20,000 energy balls is a completely different ball game in terms of how ingredients react when they're mixed at scale, what happens when they're put in a pot, what happens if you stack 10 pots on top of each other. And then you need to scale all of that up to what happens if there's 30, 40, 50 pots on top of each other. And that was by far the biggest challenge. However, we work with a brilliant producer. Jessica is incredible in the kitchen. And I think I know it's such a cliche, but a lot of teamwork, and I probably had to sacrifice my pedantics around the product a small bit about, okay, do they need to be perfectly round? And it's small things like that probably that affect a business owner more than, it's probably stuff the customer doesn't even think of. But there were a number of challenges like that. And then there's just the day-to-day stuff of, I suppose, I never learned how to be an employer, never learned how to be a business person per se. But yeah, they're probably some of the lesser challenges of that, thankfully, just due to experience.
I'd say a lot of people don't ever learn how to be an employer. I think it's probably things you learn along the way. And now that you can look back in a little bit of hindsight, what have you learned along the way that you try and incorporate?
Oh, I think probably I've learned more about people in the last 5 or 6 years than I could ever dream of. I'm a teacher by trade, and so being from like going from instructing students who don't want to be there to working alongside, like, I'm so lucky that I get to go to work every day with family, but also very good friends now. And I think like communication is probably the biggest, because even, and this is probably something I'm always learning because I'm far from perfect when it comes to any aspect, but there's probably an element of you just presume people know things that you've never even informed them of, because you, me personally anyway, I think through it in my head over and over again, and I nearly assume that, okay, everyone knows what we're doing. But just being really clear with communication is the biggest of all. And that works both ways, definitely.
There's an onus on all parties in that. Yeah, I would agree with that. Obviously, the health food market in Ireland, it will be quite competitive. How did you have Sibley stand out? Like, what was its niche?
Yeah, so I suppose very simply, it comes back to the quality aspect. We use oats, honey, peanut butter and dark chocolate. And that makes up an energy ball. And the biggest part of it was, and this just came from my own personal experience more than anything, was I don't just want to see a brand and see them sell. I want to be brought along on the journey. And I think social media has played a big part in that. And it's probably showing the good with the bad. We've shown getting kicked out of shops, or we've shown really bad days of sales or whatnot, or bad days of sales calls more than anything. And I think it's just giving people that real behind the scenes. And I don't mean behind the scenes of, oh, let's pack an order online. I mean, this is what it sounds like to talk to someone at a tasting. And, you know, like, I'll happily put a microphone on and do my best. So that's the big thing. I think it's the quality, but also bringing people on the journey. Because since day one, I've always said that I want to see how far we can get this. And thankfully, due to the incredible, like the really incredible people we have, I know everyone says that, but I think this, it's very much only the beginning.
You have built a massive following online. I did notice that. Fair play, because I know it's not an easy thing to do nowadays. But what kind of feedback do you get from people online? You know, have there been any memorable messages or stories from people of the brand that has really stuck with you?
Yeah, look, it's. I think people love to focus on the negatives when it comes to online and social media. We have been incredibly lucky. We might get one negative comment in 1,000, genuinely. It's just a very kind of positive environment. And look, part of that is probably due to the fact that from day one, I was very clear that I, through my own personal brand, but also through the business page, we weren't getting political or taking strong stances. I'm not under any illusion that at the end of the day, we are a food company. We have the best intentions in the world, but at the same time, that won't change the world. And from that, I think we get people's very, I think, raw and honest responses. To be honest, we've had lots of messages like eating disorders come up a lot in terms of, I suppose, finding snacks. And even like close at home, there's been friends outside of the family and stuff that has come to light. And it's not that this isn't used for content or whatever, obviously, but I suppose the ones where you're getting people who aren't eating, even to try half an energy bottle or whatever it might be, they're as important as someone who's eating 3 or 4 packs a day and sharing it online at the same time. So we have built up a very close relationship with a lot of our customers.
It sounds it. And on top of Sibley, you're also running your own coffee trailer now, I hear. So how is that going? How are you managing to juggle both worlds at the same time?
And look, I can't take any credit for that. I had a notion 2 years ago now, around this time, 2023, that I'd always loved the idea of coffee trailers and coffee businesses, and still do, but I really wanted to learn about it, and I don't think there's any better way than just taking the chance. So we bought a horse box, converted it into a coffee trailer, and once again, Emer, Grace, Jenny, Aileen, the crew are brilliant. I've very little to do with it anymore because I'm more of a nuisance if I'm there now, to be honest, because they've just really taken it by the reins. And I suppose we didn't start that in order to, look, obviously you want to cover your costs, but we didn't start it as a business venture per se. It was more so a community venture. We're from a small village in Ballydesmond, right on the Cork-Kerry border. And there was just nowhere to get really good coffee. You could get coffee in a shop to buy, but I kind of saw the opening there, and it was more so to become not a hub, but you know, somewhere where if you didn't want to head to the local town 20 or 30 minutes away, you could just pop down for coffee, meet someone, and thankfully it has very much served that purpose.
It sounds like it has, for sure. But going back to Sibley, are there any exciting ventures coming soon? New flavours, new products, or maybe even plans to expand?
Yes, very much so. The lads won't be a bit happy when I'm saying this, but no, look, my overarching goal is to be able to walk into any household in the country, put a pot of energy balls down on the table and say, do you know what they are? And they'll say, obviously, how couldn't I know what Sibley is, or how couldn't I know what these energy balls are? And it's the exact same as going in and throwing down a box of Barry's tea or whatever it may be. And to do that, we need to be in as many touch points for the customer as possible. So whether that's hospitality, gyms, retail, we're very fortunate in that we have the capacity to scale quite quickly in production right now. The first 2 years that was a huge challenge, as I mentioned, but we've got the people, we've got the logistics almost nailed, I think. And yeah, the plan is nationwide coverage over the next 12 to 18 months. We're getting closer by the month. We bring them now full-time as a director in sales and whatnot, and that's been huge. And we've also got the team behind him then to get the product onto the shelves.
Sounds like it's going to be exciting, for sure. I'll definitely need to keep an eye. But before I let you go, Matthew, because you're on the Business Spotlight this week, we like to ask our guests to give a shout out to another Irish business or entrepreneur that we should be supporting. So who gets your nod this week?
Oh, there's no winning on this. Okay, I'm gonna I'll give you two different ones. I'll give you one, but they can go well together. Velo Coffee in Cork. They are, Rob and the team there have been a huge help to us as we started off. There's been days where I've rang him a number of times with some stupid questions, but the product is incredible. They do, whether you're just new to coffee and you like a mocha or whatnot, they've got something for you. Or whether you're a coffee nerd and you prefer whatever it may be, the Ecuador blend, they've got something, or El Salvador blend, they've got something for you. So Velo Coffee and Cork, V-E-L-O. And then if you're looking for a partner with that, this time of year in particular, SOS Cookies, Sarah O'Sullivan is running one hell of a business. You can pick them up in Dundrum or Arnott's or the Pavilions, I believe, in Dublin. But just check their Instagram. Both of those, they're the ones to watch, definitely.
Oh, well, lovely. Thank you for that inspiration. I actually will go and check them out immediately. Thank you, Matthew, for all of that and for joining us on iRadio's Business Spotlight. Wishing you all the best. And I'm sure we will catch up to you again when you have expanded even further beyond your wildest dreams, no doubt, in Ireland.
I hope so. Thanks so much again. Really appreciate it.
This is iRadio's Group Chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it.